Welcome to our service of worship on this, the fifth Sunday of 2020. I'd like to wish everybody a happy new year. And maybe when we do the passing of the peace, we could also wish our neighbours a happy new year too. Anyway, a few announcements to make. A Presbyterian sharing. You'll see this in your bulletin, by the way. We did go over the 21,000 by $157. So thank you. Thank you to everyone. You reached your goal and then some. Women's Bible study, Saturday, January the 11th, 9 a.m. in the parlour. All ladies are encouraged to join. Reverend Toby will be in study leave from January 6th to January 12th. Our service on January 12th will be led by Reverend Margaret Robertson. And any help needed, any consultations, contact Barb Knox, our clerk of session. Excuse me. We had a movie yesterday, and it was changed. It was called Rio. Rio. It was a lovely movie. Place was packed out. There was 10 of us, I think, 12 of us. So we had lots of space to spread out. Goodies were good. Lovely movie. I would encourage you to support this. It just happened to be on a Saturday afternoon. It may be a little bit inconvenient, but it was good. We had a good time. I would like to ask Lisa up to say a few words.
I just wanted to ask anyone that's interested in walking in the coldest night of the year, February 22nd, if they could stay after church and just come up here to the front. And I just need to get some information on people that are interested so I can set up our team. And we also have to have a team name. So anybody that has a good idea, I've been thinking of like the Knox Knee Knockers or the Plodding Presbyterians or something like that. So, and I already looked online and there's a few churches already there, so we really want to like beat them, get all the donations for us and beat them.
How about the Chosen Frozen? Was it the Frozen Chosen? Good old name for Presbyterians. Anyway, I would like to ask you to stand and pass the peace of Christ to your neighbour. Thank you.
Well, good morning and welcome to our service of worship this morning. I'm so glad that you're here with us today in this new year 2020. So happy new year to all of you. Arise, shine. The light we have been waiting for is here. Darkness has been banished. God's light of hope floods the earth. God's light of peace comes to us all. Let our hearts receive God's light of love. Come, let us worship our God together. We'll begin by singing our opening praise, We Three Kings. A good one. Let us pray. God of power and might, of grace and of love, heaven and earth are full of your glory. You chose to become one of us in Jesus Christ, sharing our joy and sorrow, manifesting your greatness in the child of the manger. And so we praise you for your love, which is great enough to embrace the universe, yet close enough to enter our hearts. During our worship, surprise us with your grace, so that we, with the rest of the church and the whole creation, may praise and adore you, O God, our Creator and Redeemer. As we begin a new year, we look inward at ourselves to see how we can better serve you and serve others. As we begin a new year, we seek to make right where we have gone wrong. God of mercy and loving kindness, you sent Christ among us as a gift to be the light of the world and to reveal your love to all people. We confess that sometimes we hide the brightness of your light, especially when we waste our gifts, we ignore cries for justice, and we do not strive for peace. In your mercy, cleanse us and make us new. As we begin a new year, we are assured of your love and forgiveness, and we give thanks that we are given the opportunity to start fresh again each new day. We pray all this in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray together, saying, we will sing again together, What Child Is This?
Thank you.
invite the kids to come join me up here on the step. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I haven't seen you guys since Christmas. Did you get some good loot? You guys got some good stuff?
Yeah.
Connor had his favorite present he told me about on the way in. What was it, Connor? A big jar of pickles. Nice. Nice. Santa must have known. I don't know. Hi. Well, I'm glad you guys are here with me today. Today, Christmas isn't done yet. We still have the tree up. We still have the decorations. We still have the nativity set. I know you feel like it's done and you guys are heading off to school tomorrow, but it's not, because we have an important part of the story of Christmas that we're going to hear about today, and that's the story of the wise men. You guys know the story of the wise men? Yeah, what did they do? What did they see in the sky?
A star.
They saw a star, and then what did they do?
They followed it.
That's right. They followed the star, and then who did they find?
Baby.
They found baby Jesus. That's right, when they followed the star. Now, last year, just after Christmas, someone gave me a gift, and it's a sign I've had in my office for the year. And it says, let me tell you, three wise women would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, brought practical gifts, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and there would be peace on earth. So this has been in my office for the last year. I thought I'd share that with you. Now, we don't want to take any credit away from the three wise men, but you know, we like to imagine that if it had been three wise women, maybe things may have been a little bit different. They still would have found Jesus. So we're going to talk today about where we can find Jesus today in our world, and especially in our church. And so what I brought today was some stars from my Christmas tree. I have a whole bunch of different stars. Well, here, you want to hold that? You want to hold the next one? All right. Katrina, will you hold that one? Let's see how many I have here. Ooh, let's see. I might have the perfect number. I don't know if we'll have one for Hannah, though. All right, would you like to hold that one? Would you like to hold that one? And there's one for each of you guys. Okay, so we are going to take our stars, and we are going to find places in here that Christ is present, where Jesus would be. So when we're here in worship, where do we learn about Jesus? Where do we hear about Jesus? Are there different things or symbols or places in the sanctuary that that God would be present, where Jesus is present? Can anyone suggest something? Yeah, what would you suggest? Up at the cross. Okay, why don't you go give that one to the folks in the choir? So they're going to hold that star for us. Thank you. And they also represent Christ to us, because they give us a ministry of music and they sing songs about Jesus. So there's like two for one right there. All right. So there's something over there by next to the Christmas tree. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that's for? That's our baptismal font. And so that's when adults or babies are baptized, we put water in here and we baptize the baby from here. This is our baptismal font. So, Jason, do you want to put a star over here for us? Just hanging on the top, sure. All right. Now, a few times a year, we have something special on this table here. Do you know what that table's called? Yeah? The nativity scene's there now, but not the other times of the year. Other times of the year, there's something else on there. You guys always come up.
The manger.
Not the manger, no. When you guys come up from Sunday school and we all sit together and we share the meal together, right? Well, we do have the Bible on there sometimes. So do you know what that table is called? What we sometimes call it? The communion table. So when we call it the communion table and it's filled with the bread and the cup, then we share that meal together. So why don't one of you put a star on the communion table? Yeah, and Jesus is there today too, so that works out even better. Now, you guys are usually downstairs when this happens, but not always. Where does the person who comes up to read the Bible to us stand? Do you know where they stand usually when they come up to read the Bible? Right over there, that's right. Does someone want to put a cross or a star over there by that, as we call it, the lectern. You can put it just, yeah, go ahead and just put it right in front of it. I don't know if you can put, there's, if you look on the front, yeah, that's perfect. Excellent. Okay, how many have we got left? 1, 2, 3. All right, so shall we have a walk around? Let's go find, see if we can find Jesus presence or Christ present in our sanctuary today. All right, so I know today at the back of the church we have a nativity set up. Do you want to put, Jesus is in there today. Do you want to run back and put one back there?
Can I go with you?
Sure. Now we've got two left. Now look, look on either side of me. Are these people here not here because God is present? Can you sometimes see God present in acts of kindness and love? And these people are all pretty loving and kind. So we need to give a cross, or a, sorry, a cross, a star to one person on this side and one person on that side. Who has one left that they want to give a star to? There, David's going to take one, and Vicky's got the other. And these people are all representing Jesus to us as well. These are the people that we can learn about Jesus from and who share Jesus' love. So we've got stars all around us. We can head back up to the front there. So you guys have, you two have pretty important jobs. You're representing all of us here. So hold your star up high. So these are all, like, so you know how the wise men were led by the star to find Jesus? We have things in our lives that will lead us to Jesus too, and we can be so thankful that we have them, and it's everybody here in the sanctuary. And really, if technically we should hang one on the door too, don't you think? Because Jesus is out beyond our doors as well, and it's up to you to find Jesus in your lives. So let's say a prayer, and then you guys are going to head down to church school. Loving God, we give thanks that you guide us to Jesus. You gave us the Bible and the church and our family and friends to teach us your ways of love and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can head on downstairs. And we will sing our song of preparation together as we prepare to hear the word of God.
Scripture reading this morning is Matthew 2:1-12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born the King of Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, They were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Holy God, source of all light, by your word you give light to the soul. Pour out on us your spirit of wisdom and understanding, that our hearts and minds might be opened to your truth. Amen. So just before Christmas, the final installment of Star Wars: The Skywalker Saga was released with the 9th movie. Now, it's not the end of the Star Wars stories, just the Skywalker trilogies that began in the late 70s. Now, even if you're not a fan of the movies, you probably know the gist of the storyline and the things that have become ingrained in our culture from those characters. There's Darth Vader with that black mask and that heavy voice, the epitome of evil. There's Princess Leia with her cinnamon bun hairdo. There's that little green Yoda. Remember, you might. Saw what I did there? There are the droid robots, C-3PO and R2-D2. There's the wise-cracking Han Solo with his big, hairy sidekick, Chewbacca, and the innocent Luke Skywalker. And who hasn't used a flashlight to have a lightsabered battle with their friends? Star Wars tells the story of the ultimate battle between the forces of good and evil, between light and darkness. The little guy up against the Empire and all that was corrupt and unjust. And each movie tells a part of the saga, tells the story of the hero's quest to defeat evil and bring balance to the Force. The main characters were single-minded in their determination and commitment to fulfilling their quest. Those Star Wars heroes remind me of the three wise men of the Bible. They too were on a quest that began with a light in the sky, a star of wonder. The definition of a quest is a long and arduous search for something, or as we see in the movies, a valiant effort, usually involving some kind of adventurous journey. The wise men were on a quest to find a king who had been born and who would change the world. In those days, wise men or magi were the words used for astronomers or astrologists. Magi were stargazers. Wise men who found meaning in what they saw in the lights of the sky, who saw messages in the stars. And the full story from the Bible of their quest is usually told today on this Sunday of Epiphany, because Epiphany is the season of light. In Epiphany, we celebrate that the light of the world in Jesus has come and that God's reign will be known to the world. And the wise men played an important role in revealing God's plan at Epiphany. But there's a few things about the story of the wise men that have gone down in history of the church that may not be exactly accurate. When churches like ours have our church school Christmas pageant, they almost always include the three wise men gathered at the manger with their gifts, with the shepherds and the angels. But the Bible tells us they weren't really there that night. Instead, they went to his home when he was probably about 2 years old. And scholars don't actually know how many wise men there are or were, but we assume that there were three based on the three gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But it's possible there were more or maybe less. It's also reasonable to assume that they weren't alone, three men with three camels. The Magi probably traveled with a caravan of attendants, and maybe extended family with women and children tagging along. When they found Jesus, that caravan would have been pretty obvious to Mary and Joseph's neighbors, and they may have wondered what their strange company was all about. Now, despite the way we've imagined what happened and what really happened, the story is an important part of our Christmas story, as we know it, and it's part of God's plan. This is true, even though this is a story that could have ended before it even began. So many things had to come together for the wise men to make it to Jesus. What if the wise men hadn't seen this star? And even if they did, what if they just marked it in their logbooks as an interesting, bright star and left it at that? What if they had no idea about the people of Israel and their expectation of a Messiah, a king that was to come? What if they wouldn't have known enough to even care, let alone follow the star? What if King Herod had had them arrested or sent back to their homeland without giving them the chance to finish their quest? What if they had actually gotten lost and ended up somewhere else, never ever finding Jesus? There were so many things that could have gone differently, but they didn't. They did find Jesus, and they worshiped him. But I still can't help but ask why. Why did those wise men leave their homes and families to follow a star to an infant king, the king of the Jews? What did they really expect to find? Were they worried about the danger? Were they afraid that the star might disappear, that they would lose their way? Did they wonder if it would be worth the journey? What was their motivation? What were they longing for that sent them on a quest far from home? It seems kind of funny that those stargazers from the east would be interested in the king of a small group of people. The Jews were not powerful. Their history had been filled with war and exile and persecution and domination by foreign empires. Why would that king matter to the wise men, to three astronomers? Now, they must have known something about the Jewish people, maybe knowledge from one of the Jewish exiles in foreign lands. They must have understood something of the Hebrew scriptures about the significance of a star connected to a king who would be born. They must have believed that the journey, the quest, was worth their time and their effort, the expense, the danger, or else they wouldn't have done it in the first place. And there was no question that this was a risky and perhaps even foolish quest. Now, we made jokes about if the wise men had been women and the practical gifts that they would have brought. But those wise men did go against one stereotype because they stopped in Jerusalem to ask for directions. They needed help interpreting the scriptures to find the exact place that the king would be born. And so what did they do? They asked the current king where to find the new king, which makes me wonder, were they truly naive or just foolish? Didn't they think that the king already in place, King Herod, might not be too thrilled to endorse their quest to find another king who might replace him? Didn't they know that he might feel, well, a wee bit threatened, and that his reaction might be one of anger and fear? Fear that spread throughout all of Jerusalem. Fear tends to be the natural reaction for all those whose power and status is threatened. The Star Wars saga is based in the fear of those who were threatened by the fight for justice. Historically, political leaders have reacted badly when it looks like they will lose their grip on power. And we hear in the Bible that Herod wanted to worship the new king too, and wanted the Magi to come back and share where they had found Jesus. But the wise men were warned in a dream not to reveal the place where they found the new king. We also know that after the wise men left, Joseph was warned in a dream to take Jesus and his mother to safety in Egypt, because Herod was going to order that all baby boys be killed. This became a tragic part of the story, one rooted in fear and evil, a part that we can't ignore. Because we are reminded that Jesus was born into a world where many faced darkness, and many needed the light of Epiphany. Many needed to see and experience the goodness of God. And the wise men far from the east found the light in that child born, the King of the Jews. Now we've heard the words of the prophet Isaiah over Advent and Christmas about a better world, about a peaceable kingdom, a world where the people in darkness have seen a great light. And one last time today in the prophet Isaiah from chapter 60, we hear a message for Epiphany. As we look forward to a new year and what the birth of Jesus means for our world today. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth and the thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. Lift up your eyes and look around. Where do you see God? That's really the point of the Epiphany wise men story. Seeing the signs from God, going on a journey, a quest, and finding Jesus. Those wise men risked everything to follow God. They trusted and made God more important than themselves, more important than their safety and their reputation and their wealth, because Jesus, the light of the world, was worth the risk. We are a me generation. Really, we've been a me generation for a long time. Me first has been a human problem from the beginning of time. From Adam and Eve until now, we human beings have had a hard time putting God at the center of our lives. Instead, we rely on ourselves. We make ourselves more important than we should be. And our culture doesn't help any. Magazines and TV shows and movies and politics and big business are all focused on the individual and what I can gain for me. We are afraid of giving up our control and power, even to God. We can't seem to let go and let God. We don't really trust that God will lead us, like the star, to Jesus, the light of the world. So what should we do? How can we be like the wise men, the magi, looking for signs of God and taking a risk and going on a quest to find Jesus and seeing and experiencing Jesus in our lives? Just like the star guiding the wise men, God has given us what we need to see the signs to find Jesus. Of course, we have the Bible, the story of God and God's people. And in it, we find Jesus, his prophetic birth, his life, his acts of love and compassion, his sacrificial death, and his joyous resurrection. We find Jesus in our history, in those of the past who have stood up for justice, who have proclaimed good news of life for all, those who have followed Jesus even when it was difficult. And we have found Jesus in our own lived experiences, in acts of kindness, incredible love, in answered prayer, and God's creation around us. And we find Jesus in our community, together as the church. We're not meant to travel the road to Jesus alone. We're meant to travel together. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today in worship. We wouldn't need to be the church. But together, to find Jesus, we need to worship God, to get beyond ourselves, to pay homage to the King of Kings, to make God the center of all things. We need each other to study the Bible, to discern God's will. We need each other to share our sorrows and our joys, to spread God's love. We need each other to help those in need and to show the world that God is good. These are the guideposts, the star that God has given us to show the way, like the light that shone from the star showing the wise men the way. God gives us the signs we need to seek Jesus in our lives. God doesn't leave us to wander alone. We need to trust God. We need to lift up our eyes and look around and take a risk and follow Jesus. On their quest, those ancient wise men were led and prompted and guided to follow the star that led them to Jesus. And the good news today is that God guides us too. The signs of God's activity in the world are there for us to see if we only look up and follow. And that is our quest for this year, 2020, to follow the light of God and to see Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. We will sing again together, as with gladness, men of old. Please be seated. A warm welcome again to you on this Sunday of the first Sunday of the new year. If this is your first time worshiping with us, an extra special welcome to you and an invitation to come downstairs after the service for a time of fellowship and refreshment. And you may notice the flowers here in front of my pulpit. These flowers were from the funeral of Gwen Robson, which was this past Monday. So I just ask that you continue to lift up her family in prayer as they grieve her loss. We respond to God's call by sharing what we have been blessed with. Our offerings will now be received. Generous and gracious God, receive and bless these gifts for your holy work, and bless everyone who offers them to you. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus Christ, light of the world. Amen. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, you shine into the dark places of this world and cast your light into the shadows of our lives. You have guided your people throughout the ages to see and experience the good news that you came to live among us so that we might truly live. In our thanks for all you have done for us and in hope that you continue to be with us, we lift up our prayers for the world. Shine your light, O God, on all who seek your wisdom and who seek to live the values of your kingdom. Give leaders in our church and communities the guidance and courage to do what is just, and give us the grace to speak and act honestly, wisely, and graciously. Shine your light, O God, on those who face natural disaster today, especially those fighting devastating fires in Australia, those who are caught in the crossfires of violent conflict, and those who are reeling from acts of hatred based on their religion or ethnicity. Cover them in protection and give us the grace to work for peace and share in one another's reconciliation. Shine your light, O God, on the needs of those who do not have enough to eat or adequate shelter, and those who have enough to share but no one to share with. Sustain them and give us the grace to share what we have with each other. Shine your light, O God, on the needs of those who carry heavy burdens, who don't know where to turn, those with broken hearts and secrets that make life difficult. Give them peace and save us from hiding in blindness or denial, and give us grace to share one another's burdens. Shine your light, O God, on the anguish of those who are filled with grief because of a loss that forever has altered their lives, on those who are ill or dying, and those who are in pain. Give them hope and give us grace to share one another's grief. There are many on this day known to us who are facing particular challenges and struggles, and in a moment of quiet reflection, we lift them up to you. Shine your light upon this world, O God, so that we are guided in your ways in this new year. Give us a sense of wonder and energy to work with you to bring about the world that you want for us and for all people. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, Christ the Lord. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is Arise, Your Light Is Come.
Thank you.
Go forth today guided by the light of God, and may the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you, now and forevermore. Amen.